O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we've come together to worship you. Draw near to us through your word and assure us of your loving kindness. Curb our wandering thoughts so that with undivided attention we may hear your voice and sing your praise. Open our hearts by your Holy Spirit to the proclamation of your word so that we repent of our sins, trust in Jesus as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. Hear us for his sake. Amen. Welcome to all of you to the worship service today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, we pray the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us richly this morning as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God. We give you thanks and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth. We sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, for us the Lord of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are pleasing in your sight, that we who without you cannot do anything that is good, may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our scriptures this morning is drawn from one of the minor prophets of the Old Testament, Joel. In the third chapter, Joel's very graphic description portraying and picturing the events of the last day when the whole world is gathered before the Lord in the valley of decision, and the decision will then be made, faith in Jesus or not. And one thing that we can draw from this especially is the comfort that we have as Christians for Jesus' sake, that we will be declared righteous and justified for his sake, because the Lord in that day will be our refuge and our stronghold. We read there in Joel 3:12 to 16, "Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full, and the vats overflow, so great is their wickedness. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel." Here ends the first lesson. Let's read responsively portions from the 18th Psalm. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He brought me out into a spacious place. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness You save the humble. You give me your shield of victory. Our next lesson is drawn from the Gospel of Matthew in the 13th chapter. Jesus' parable is told there of the farmer who sowed seed in his field. We read there in Matthew 13, 24 to 30, 36 to 43. Jesus told them another parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.' Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
To him who loved us and freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God and Father, to him be glory and power now and forever. Amen. The word for our meditation today is written in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So far the text. In Jesus' name, our blessed Savior, dearly beloved of God, we just confessed the familiar words together of the Apostles' Creed, in which we confessed our faith in God the Father, the Almighty Creator, who fashioned the universe by his power, 6 days. Our faith in God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who was crucified for us to win for us forgiveness for our sins and life everlasting. And then our faith in God the Holy Spirit, our sanctifier, whose work it is to instill in our hearts by the gospel saving trust in Jesus. It's our custom, of course, to highlight the person and work of God the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, which we observed here at St. Paul 2 months ago, the last Sunday in May. We were then reminded that it is through the gracious working of the Spirit that we can call Jesus our Lord and can sing as we just did, "We are children of the Heavenly Father." There's a question I'd pose for you. It's a yes or no question. The work of the Holy Spirit, did it cease in your life when he brought you to faith? I think you know the answer to that question. It is an emphatic and gloriously wonderful no. It is as Martin Luther has taught us to confess in his explanation to the third article of the Creed. The Holy Spirit not only has called me by the gospel, he enlightens me with his gifts, and he sanctifies and keeps me in true faith. He remains active in our lives more than we perhaps even realize. And I know we could spend a lot of sermons talking about that. He's blessing us with the peace of sins forgiven, peace of conscience results from the knowledge that our sins have been pardoned by our God, his comforting work in our days of trouble, his allaying our worries, because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. The Spirit's leading us to strive against sin, defending us from the devil's assaults through the sword of the Holy Spirit, God's Word, and is empowering us to walk in paths of righteousness for the Lord's praise, his confirming in our hearts the hope of glory when this life ends. This morning, however, I'd like to highlight one particular aspect of the Holy Spirit's ongoing work in our behalf as children of the Heavenly Father, and that is his service to us as our prayer helper. Before we delve into that subject, let's spend just a few moments speaking on the general topic of prayer. That's one of the grand privileges we have as Christ believers, and what makes it so special and so marvelous is when we think about how by nature, we did not deserve to be able to do it. Isaiah the prophet wrote, Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Picture, if you can, in your mind, a 30-foot tall, 10 feet thick, 100-mile-long wall made of granite rock. You're on one side, God is on the other. What do you think the chances are that you could get close to him? Or that if you called out to him, he would hear? Well, the answer to that question is an emphatic and terribly disconcerting no. Not only does our sin make it impossible to draw near our holy God, it also serves as the jamming device for any prayer that we would hope to offer to him. Or think of your cell phone, you're driving in the mountains in a dead zone with no bars. Your call's not going to get through. Now picture in your mind, switching it completely, the picture to a 60-foot high, 30 feet wide, 4 inches thick curtain, weighing approximately 4 tons. This curtain is separating two rooms in God's temple. Suddenly, as you're standing there, the massive curtain begins to rip apart, starting from the top all the way to the bottom. Well, that's what happened, as I'm sure you recall from the Passion history. The moment that Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross, and that was God's signal to the world, his declaration that that sin wall that divided us from him was obliterated. Christ broke it down. As Paul wrote in another place, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And so it is that our holy God not only makes it possible and has made it possible for us to have a close relationship with him now and to live with him in heaven in the in-between time, he invites us to pray to him as boldly and confidently as dear children ask their dear father. Read in the Bible, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known to God. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Our prayers to the Lord in Jesus' name are like a sweet-smelling fragrance or incense wafting up into his presence. So now, having considered this privilege that we've been given as children of the Heavenly Father to pray, let's consider the specific truth about prayer that Paul sets forth in our text, that we have a prayer helper. In this part of his letter to the Christians at Rome, Paul wrote about the happy future that awaits us in heaven, so wonderful that the troubles of this present time can't even compare with the glory that's to be revealed in us. But during this watching, waiting time, during which we also experience troubles, counter problems, stressful situations, causes our hearts to feel burdened, even though we're comforted to know, like the poet Joseph Scriven once wrote, he's the author of a poem that was eventually developed into a hymn that goes like this: what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I say that's wonderful to be able to sing and to know that in our troubles and in our stressful situations that cause our hearts to feel burdened. But in our weakness, being weak mortals, are there not times, perhaps many times, has it ever happened in your praying, in your prayer life, that you felt like you were at a loss to pray, what to pray for, or how to word your prayer? Or maybe you prayed about this concern or this need many, many times, and you maybe said, I don't know what to say anymore. Well, it is then that you, as a child of the Heavenly Father, can take comfort in the truth Paul here presents in our text. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we don't know what we ought to pray for, He intercedes for us, God's saints, with groans that words can't express, and always in accordance with God's holy will. It's kind of like using an illustration. Back in the days when people used to use checks to pay for things, probably still do that some today, but not like we did years ago. Perhaps years ago, maybe some family member sent another family member to the store to pick up groceries, and you wrote the check out partially. Pay to the order of Joe's Food Mart, but then you left the dollar amount blank so that your family member could fill in the correct amount at the store. Well, even so, think about this, how when we pray to the Heavenly Father, we may not always know what to put in the blank, but we can always trust the Holy Spirit to do it for us. He'll present our petitions to our Father in a way that's always for our good. How is the Spirit able to do that? Because, as our text teaches, God is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we need, what's going to serve for our eternal benefit. And so He makes use of that omniscience in interceding for us before God's throne. And another thought I'd share yet this morning on the topic of prayer. When we ask the Lord for things related to our earthly lives, isn't it so that we don't always necessarily know exactly what's good for us? We're not sure whether it will serve for our benefit, better paying job, recovery from a health problem, relief from a thorn in the flesh, like Paul prayed about during his ministry. And in those instances, don't we then leave the answer up to the Lord, whether it's a no or a yes or a not yet? Or I think also, but another answer perhaps happens more than we realize, the Lord has something better to bestow on us. In those instances, we generally pray, and we not always say the words, but we're thinking them, not my will, but thine be done, just like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. But friends, there are certain gifts which we need not pray, Lord, your will be done, because we already know that He wants us to have them. For example, you do not need to pray, forgive my sins, Father, for Jesus' sake, if it be your will. No, you don't need to say that. You know it is. Lord, bless me with an increase in faith, if it's your will. No, you can know that He will do that. No conditions. Give me strength to resist the devil's temptations and steer clear of the deceptive philosophies of the world, if it's your will. No, we know it is. Help me fix my heart more on things above, not on earthly things. And Father, let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus, which is humble and selfless and serves others. We know that He wants these blessings for us so that we can pray them unconditionally. And the same is true when it comes to the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember the story of the disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to pray, just like John taught his disciples, and how he then provided them with the cream of all prayers, the Lord's Prayer, as a model, and went on to say, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give your son a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So as often as you ask your Father in heaven for the gift of the Holy Spirit, he will grant him to you, so that your joy in Christ may grow, your understanding of his will and his word is increased, so that your love for him is made stronger, and your ability to live your life for his praise and the benefit of others is also increased. And when you find it difficult to put in innermost thoughts and yearnings of your heart into words, the Holy Spirit will formulate the exact prayer that meets your specific need, presenting it before God's throne of grace for Jesus' sake, for your soul's highest good. So all praise be to God the Father, our Creator, God the Son, Jesus, our Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit, our Sanctifier and our Prayer Helper. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, who created all things in heaven and earth by your Son, giving him authority over all, we thank you that through him we've received the Spirit of adoption, through which we may truly know you as our Father in heaven, call on you in prayer, and be sure that we will be heard as your children. Father, for your church and your people, we pray. Give unto them ministers and teachers who are led by your Spirit and who earnestly hold forth the word of life, faithfully leading your children and teaching them to observe all things that our Lord has commanded. Save your flock from false shepherds and deceitful guides, that they, being knit together in love, may stand firm in one spirit and with one mind strive together for the gospel of Christ crucified. Father, let your Spirit descend upon our homes. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in the children, and grant that all parents may be worthy examples of Christian faith and virtue. For those among us who live alone, grant the firm assurance of your abiding presence, and comfort them in knowing they are never truly alone. May we all recognize the most important family bond that we share, the bond of faith, so that we may bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord God, from whom all good gifts come, give the assurance of your love and mercy to all who may be enduring pain, sickness, the onset of disease, spiritual anguish, or any other affliction of body or soul. Lift them up so that they may give themselves completely into your care and find in you the answers for their troubles. And now, Heavenly Father, since you have encouraged us in your word to let our requests be made known with thanksgiving and prayer, we come to you in gratitude and trust, offering these petitions in the name of Jesus, our rock and redeemer, in whose name we also join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We sing the next hymn, and note that it is printed in your bulletin on page 4.
Thank you.
And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen. Come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly forever adore.